Non-local, part 1.3.1, the Council of Libranauts Quality Assurance Survey. Wizard is standing on the edge of a great pack ice sea, watching the ice on the water breathe with the waves of the ocean. He is holding a magical halibut hook, those used by many generations of the worst fishermen, in an unremarkable, faraway village. It is from cedar and alder. The bulky side of the hook has a stylized land otter spirit carved on it and a funny stare. The barb is for a medium-sized halibut. It was chiseled from a fossilized bit of mastodon bone, found by a village bully who attempted to eat it on a dare, only to lose it later that evening in the barb maker's house. The hook should not be this far north. It is from soggy islands under the wind. There are no fish for it to try to lure to their deaths here. It was originally lost near a soggy island, near a volcano, down where there are lots of fish that like to use the bottom of the ocean for their homes. Those fish get lazy and are easy to trick because it is so dark where they live that they will eat whatever smells good without tasting it first. They can be so gluttonous that they will even suck up their own. This magical hook was so unlucky that it was only able to hook the laziest of these flatfish. When a good fisherman, who went by Rudy, found the hook washed up on a beach of one of the soggy islands, covered in a driftwood prison, he should have left it there. Instead, the fisherman used it to catch several halibut, all of which had no edible meat in them. When he attempted to fillet them, the fish skin would rip open like wet paper, and there would be nothing but trash inside. Thrown away things like soda cans, cigarette butts, and plastic bags were behind the skin, where the prize meat was supposed to be. When the fishermen would try to fillet the best part of the halibut, which are the cheeks, they were crammed with used coals from a monster's fire, the coals of burnt teeth and bones. Sometimes there was repugnant smoke inside the fish when he cut into the skin. Every time he used the mysterious found halibut hook, he would get cursed, useless fish. Eventually, he tried to toss it back into the ocean, while kayaking out to a summer point where he was going to hunt for sea ducks. Every time he rid himself of the hook, tossing it into the deep blue water, it would reel back into the kayak on a sparkling seal gut line that would appear out of nowhere and be attached to the keel of his kayak. Rudy would then cut the line with his knife and throw the hook back into the freezing water, and the line would magically reattach and reel back into the kayak. He soon gave up and put the hook in his bait bucket and came ashore for the night. Soon Rudy made a fire and dug the hook out of the fetid bait, lobbing it into the fire. It made a few soft noises in the flames, where it only dried out and turned black. It never caught fire, just sat there, blackening. Rudy thought that he heard the hook laugh at him while he was sleeping. When he woke the next morning, a strange wizard was going through his things, throwing them about the camp. "What do you want my things, stranger?" Rudy shouted at him. "I'm looking for something to soothe the hook. It is extremely angry and very hot and needs to cool down," the wizard explained. Then he asked, "Do you have any coffee?" "I burned our hook in the fire last night," Rudy informed the surly magician. "It is fireproof," the wizard said as he pulled the hook out of the ashes and put it in his gunny sack. "I could not find any coffee in your things. What is wrong with you? Seriously, who goes out on some preposterous Bedarka outing without a little black drip? I'm sorry, but if you don't have any coffee, I'm leaving. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'll get a caffeine headache soon if I don't drink coffee. I'll have the quality assurance survey for you to fill out. Please be sure to send it to our main offices under the water," he said, right before he lit a hand-rolled cigarette. "How I do that?" Rudy asked. "What? You can't do that. You have to ask a puffin to do that for you," the wizard explained. "You'll have to feed it herrings. For that, they will take it in the form and then swim it down to the offices under the water, where they can fly upside down." The wizard walked down to a seaplane, which he docked near Rudy's kayak. Rudy could not believe he did not hear the seaplane land nearby during the early morning hours. He must have been sleeping very soundly. The wizard started up the engines, skin-curdling machine banshees parting the air around the eight-pointed propellers, sending black smoke dancing across the surface of the water. The wizard's seaplane was painted in a manner that reminded Rudy of a strange group of Chinook-speaking traders he had met in his youth. They had traveled through his village and tried to sell many two-dimensional items from one of the spirit levels, which nobody had any kind of use for. It appeared as if the seaplane were painted to look like a totemic image of an albino sea otter eating a spiny sea urchin. When the wizard flew away, Rudy was so happy to be rid of the cursed halibut hook, he forgot to fill out the quality assurance form. Instead, he celebrated by making another fire, collecting one of his shrimp pots and roasting another sea duck. He had a growler of beer in his gunny sack, and he decided to spend the rest of the day eating, drinking, and dancing around the fire. When he was getting camp ready for his dance, he found a wooden pipe the wizard had left behind. It was packed with a mixture of tobacco, herbs, and fine mosses Rudy didn't recognize. That night, after he ate, Rudy decided to smoke the contents of the pipe. When all of the mixture was smoked to ashes, and Rudy could pull no more smoke into his lungs, he sat back and enjoyed his fire. He did not realize it, but he had turned it into a wizard himself from smoking the contents of the pipe. His hair became very long and scraggly, and his eyebrows grew monstrous and curly, pointing to the moon. It made him suddenly chuckle to stare at the roaring fire. The way the flames tricked the oxygen around him to fight with the wood was extremely funny. The smoke was like a pre-recorded laugh track from television. The shadows made from the flicker of the fire and the surrounding woods were the eager audience. As he was smiling, a puffin landed on a rock next to him. "It is almost morning under the water. Did you fill out the quality assurance survey?" "I can take it there if you give me the rest of the herring in your cooler," the puffin said. "I did not fill out the form, but I will take it under the water myself. I would like to go there, I think," he told the puffin. The puffin realized that Rudy was no longer using a human's voice, but was dance talking, using the backwards breath, like some wizards do. "Since you are obviously a wizard from the Smoking the Magician's special blend, it is time you picked out a magician's name from the list. You can also start using the function buttons inside of your gunny sack, which can hold an infinite number of things now. You don't have to have your own seaplane yet, but once you get one of these, you will be ready to travel on your own again," the puffin was saying as he was binding the new wizard's hands to a rope. The puffin was spinning out of thin flames from the fire. It was starting to burn the flesh on Rudy's hands, wrists, and arms. "Your hands might burn off, but you'll be fine. They might turn to coal or ashes, but you'll still be able to hold things with ghost fingers from under the water. They'll look like our molted beaks that wash up on your shore every year. They will not be real, though, and they will not talk like our phantoms." Rudy started crying. "I need my hands to hunt and fish. How will I eat without them? How will I paddle my kayak?" "You are thinking about the future, or what might be, instead of figuring out how to get your hands out of the fire," the puffin said, looking disappointed. "Maybe I should help you fill out the quality assurance form right now?" The puffin found the form in the pile of dirty dishes Rudy left near the water. "Were you recently contacted by a member of the Council of Libranauts? If so, by how many and where?" "You know I was, just yesterday," Rudy exclaimed. "How would you rate your interaction with one of our certified chaos magicians? Would you rate it, 1, highly effective, 2, somewhat effective, 3, reasonable or average, 4, not very effective, or 5, my interaction with the chaos magician has left me confused and unhappy." The puffin kept reading. 5, definitely 5, Rudy said, casually. "Okay, your hands will not burn off. Well, probably not. I'm going to take the survey to the offices under the water. Since you are indisposed right now, you would have survived traveling through the kelp forest anyhow. If the land otters come by, don't talk to them. Play dead. Don't let them steal your new wizard powers. Please be sure to pick a new name and title from the interface on the start screen. And pick something that sounds classy. Rudy's your old name now."